On this episode, I'm very happy to be joined by someone I've shared many great memories with, both on and off the pitch. Former England international and Premier League winner, Wayne Bridge. Bridgie, my favourite podcast. With every guest, we go back to the start. What was it like for young Wayne Bridge growing up in Winchester?
In Winchester? It's nice, mate, if you've ever been. Winchester
I have been.
A nice place. It is a nice place.
I only ever see it at 4 a.m. when we went back.
Yeah, you've been back a couple of times. No, it was nice, mate. I moved there when I was about 6 years old from Southampton.
Yeah.
And, just mum used to work in a local shop. Dad was worked on the trains, a bit of painting and decorating. He worked nights a lot. I was happy. I had a real happy childhood, mate. We lived in a road where everyone had a front garden, the kids were always out playing, and it was just go to school, come home and play football every day. It's literally what I lived for, really.
And you got, obviously I know your mum and dad, Mick and Wendy, very, very well, and you got a real tight unit of mates in you that grew up with, like your cousin Robbie and all the Shane and all the boys that, you know. So them, all them boys that used to come out with us on all them nights out, they were with you from day one.
Day one, yeah. It's if anything, they've always kept me grounded, I think.
Yeah.
Although I like to think I keep myself grounded as well. Yeah. Just been really close, you know, they've been for everything with me, from getting in trouble at school to helping me out if I've got any trouble after school and stuff like that.
You mentioned the word trouble a lot.
Yeah. But I'm a good kid, I'm a good man now. But yeah, do you know what? I had such a good childhood. I loved it. Where my kids grow up now, it's like they don't have what I had.
Yeah.
They don't have the community of all the kids going out and playing together. And I think if I didn't have that, I'd be a bit gutted because I loved it. It was just, you know, even before school, mate, we were playing football before school, playing football at lunchtime. Then you'd rush home, eat your dinner at like 4 o'clock to go out and play football for 4 or 5 hours. And, you know, even my debut at Southampton, it was like, everyone was so happy for me. It's so good to see. You know, I had some that come to the game and then some that just watched it in the local pub. And when you see the footage from them going mental in the pub and that, it's just brilliant. I've got a good group of people around me and I'm still close to them now, all my school friends.
Yeah, I know. I mean, listen, we know them well, don't we? But it's amazing that, because I've had the same thing with my kids. It's like, they've got so much, but what we had growing up, that freedom and that, they ain't got that, and you can't put a price on that, but the world's a different place. But going back, your dad would have been, you know, Southampton fan, the boys are Southampton fans. So talk us through your first game at the Dell, first team debut, lost to Liverpool at 2-1. What do you remember about that day?
I remember squandering a couple of chances, if I'm totally honest.
Because you was a striker, left wing?
Left winger, So I was quick, I was very quick, a bit slimmer. I did start to build out a little bit, but I was quick. The things that really stand out for me, if I'm totally honest, I didn't expect to be in the squad. I know I was named in like a 22-man squad.
Who was the manager at the time?
Dave Jones.
Right, okay.
I think the end of the last season, I went away on the end of season tour, played against like a Barcelona reserve squad. I think I was up against Reisiger.
Yeah.
And back then, there was a bit of a drinking culture, we all know. Yeah. I went out before the game, so the lads took me out. It was end of season.
Yeah.
Don't know how I made it to the game because
before
we played Barca, stitched me right up. I don't even remember getting to bed. I think I got carried to bed. Got up, because I was young, I just cracked on really. Yeah. Played really well. And then, pre-season, done well. And got named in the 22-man squad. Didn't expect to be on the bench or anything. And then turned up, and I was named on the bench, and it was like, wow.
Right.
So I was like,
as a left winger?
As a left winger, and I think they were playing wing back. Might have been playing wing back at the time. I can't remember because John Beresford was playing.
Yeah.
Right. So didn't expect to be on the bench. Yeah. And then 6 minutes in, Beresford breaks his leg.
Wow.
And my name goes. He's like, get warmed up. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
And I remember seeing myself on TV after the game because I felt really nervous. And I looked. I thought, I definitely look nervous. But I remember my cousin telling me, like, he was in tears.
Really?
My dad was a bit teary.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I played really well. But it was one of them. It was like, I was nervous.
Yeah.
But once you're on there, you just go. Yeah. Once you get your first touch.
Yeah.
And you just crack on and start playing. Yeah. So that's what I loved about football. It was the nerves just go as soon as you start playing. Yeah. But yeah, like I said, remembering the game, it was basically squandering. I think I got put clean through.
Yeah.
And ran through. Took the shot way too early, smashed it over the bar. But I played well. I can't remember his right back at the time. It might have been McAteer.
Yeah.
Skinned him a few times. A few crosses into the box. I think Mark Hughes missed the sitter that I put in. So I did play well, but yeah. I squandered a few chances.
Yeah, I mean, listen, like that team, Mark Hughes, Matt Letissier, for a lad from Southampton, what was it like going out there? Because I've been to Southampton and the people talk about Letissier like he's the Messiah. Do you know what I mean? So, mate, playing with him, like, that must have been a dream.
He's got the key to the city, mate. Yeah, he just does what he wants. He's amazing. Like, I'll always sing his praises. I still, to this day, don't know how he didn't play for England, go 20 championships. Because I know Glenoddle loved him. And I love Glenoddle as well as a manager, because I obviously had him. But the fact that he never took the tiz, I just can't get my head around it. Because he could just change a game.
Yeah.
And I get it. He was one of them players that wasn't going to give you anything defensively. Mate, his ability was just... It's definitely some of the best I've seen in terms of like pinpoint passing.
Oh.
And like, you know, like sometimes when someone takes a free kick or he can hit it 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
And like, he can go past a few players and he'd pick a corner. He's never one of them people that will ever just get his head down and just smash it. He's always picking a spot the whole time.
Yeah.
And he'll always hit it. He was just so good. And like I said, he wasn't one of the fittest, didn't work hard on fitness or in the gym. He'd still go past players.
Yeah. He had that drop the shoulder and he could still go past.
I'd love to see him now, to see how he gets on against some of the players, because the game's changed a lot. Yeah. And defenders have changed and I feel like they have got better. But for me, he was just his ability. He's a great lad as well.
Yeah.
I guess the only downside to him, if you went out drinking him, all he drank was Malibu and Diet Coke.
I've heard about this, yeah. I've heard about that.
But yeah, honestly, I thought he was the best, and he's such a great lad as well.
Just the fact that he stuck with a Malibu and Coke throughout his career, that just shows how strong-minded he is.
Very strong-minded, very.
You know, so you're like, was he good for you as like a senior player? Like, did he look after, did he take you under his wing? And
he was definitely good, but there was players out there that were... who probably were better for me at Southampton. Yeah. Not saying he wasn't good for me, but a lot of players that went out their way a bit more.
Yeah.
He used confidence. It probably happened more when Glenoddle came along.
Yeah.
And there was Dean Richards, Klaus Lundekvam, Chris Marsden. Maybe that defensive group on that left side. And I didn't know this till after my career. But Glenoddle saw that I lacked in a bit of confidence, and he got the players around me to make sure they like picked me up, gave me a boost, told me how good I was all the time.
Yeah.
And he wanted me to realise how good I actually was.
Yeah.
Because he said, I didn't think you did. And so he got them players around me to make sure they put an arm around me.
Glenn's told you that like since you finished playing, or is it...
It was since I finished. I went to a dinner and he was there. And because they knew I played on him, they asked a question about me. And he said a lot of good things about it. And that was one of the things he picked up on. And he was probably ahead of his time in terms of the mental aspect of the game and confidence. And because we used to see someone that used to make you do visualisation stuff. And to be honest, I wish I'd carried it on.
Really?
After Southampton, because it was really good for me. So we'd have... Yeah. Team meetings as a back four.
Right.
We'd have team meetings as the left-hand side, midfield, and you'd say what you want from each other. And don't worry, at the beginning, a lot of the players fobbed it off a little bit.
It was
weird to open up like that with each other and say how you're feeling and what you need from each other. But it did work for some players. Yeah. There was one woman that come in, I think it must have been Chris Marsden and someone else, but they used to just rip her, to be honest, and she had a bit of a breakdown and couldn't come back. She couldn't deal with the lads. And then he got a guy in called John Sire, and he was really good. Didn't take no rubbish off the lads. And he kind of made me do one-on-one sessions, do visualisation stuff, talk about the game, talk about how I was feeling.
Yeah.
And it's only when I look back that I realised how good I was playing that a lot of it And some of it definitely was down to that.
Oh, without that, I mean, if it's the greats of the game do it, like of any game, Michael Jordan, all of the big names in sport had an aspect of that in their psyche.
Yeah, Didier was one, I think.
Yeah,
Didier was one. And I get that's one thing I look back and I think, I wish I'd carried that on. And I did speak to him once or twice when I left Chelsea.
Yeah.
But I just never did. So I look back and that's one thing I wish
I'd carried on. That was quite groundbreaking in them days. But listen, you got into the Southampton team. You're a regular. You're one of the best left-backs in the country, a young stars. But it's at this time early on in your Southampton career that we first met. Do you remember it? Because we West Ham Chelsea.
Got led astray.
Yeah, it's all my fault, ladies and gentlemen. Got called up to the under-18s and we had to fly to drive to Heathrow and stay overnight. Yeah. I mean, this is a belter, this. And
two other players with us, weren't they?
David Wright.
Who else? Lee Naylor.
I'm sure there was one more. Was there four?
I think there was four of us. Sure of it.
So anyway, we got there, didn't we? And we had a FA dignitary looking after us.
That we never knew was there. I didn't know it was there anyway.
Not until we started banging on his door at 4 in the morning. But we had a great night. Like, I felt the pressure that night, Bridgie, because, you know, we're in London. I think, I'm not going to blame you, but I think you was the first one. You was like, all right, geez, where are we going then tonight? And I'm like, I'm 16. I barely had a Bacardi Breezer.
I know. I was used to that because I got into the first team. Yeah. There was definitely a drinking culture back then, wasn't there? So I was always looking forward to the night out after the game. And to be fair, you produced. We ended up going out in our England tracksuit.
We went out in our England tracksuit. How on earth are we going to get into a nightclub here? But we did.
I had to
bong the geezer a week's wages, I think, to get into this nightclub. And it got to like 4 in the morning. I'm thinking, we need to get back here. We got a flight at 10 at Heathrow. But we lost Wrighty, didn't we? We lost him in...
Yeah, I remember that now. He was worse than me, actually.
We lost him. So I thought, well, 3 out of 4 is not bad. So we all got the cab back. He'll find his way back. And then I remember the next day, with the FA dignitaries, like, right, with the cab's leaving in 10 minutes. And we couldn't... He was sleeping in some shop doorway in London. I think, oh Christ. And I was the youngest, but because it was in London and it was me who called the night on, I thought, I'm going to have to tell him now. I'm going to have to go and say, listen, we've lost Wrighty in London. I don't know if we're going to be able to get on the plane. And bearing in mind, he's charged with looking after these 18-year-olds and that, so...
He did do a very good job.
He did a great job. So anyway, I remember I was literally about to walk to him and say to him, like, sorry, sir, whatever. And I just see Wrighty just wheel spinning up in a taxi, hair all over the gaff. I was like, wow. And then I think we were still half cut, weren't we?
Oh, definitely. I remember running up and down the corridor, we were all banging. Were we banging on his door?
Banging on his door. Like, and this is
nothing. That was definitely your idea. I didn't know what room he was in.
And then years later,
I remember this.
FA Cup final.
Final, yeah.
You're getting, he's one of the FA dignitaries that are getting, like, shaking your hands. This is like 6 years later. I've not seen him since. And he just leaned into me and gone, I don't forget that night. You all woke me up smashing on my door at 4 a.m. But fair play to him. He didn't go at us the next day. He didn't do anything.
No, so I'm sure I got picked up on it at some stage though.
Might have come back and hit us down the line. But we didn't make the next squads maybe. But anyway.
That was the start of our friendship.
Yeah, that's it. I thought, he's a bit of me. So you're playing for your boyhood club. Like I said, you're playing some great football. You're coming across everyone's radar of what you... But some of these stats, Bridgie, you got the PFA Team of the Year in 2002, but playing for Southampton, which is an amazing achievement. You played 113 consecutive games in the Premier League, which was a league record at the time. I mean, do you think people realise how hard that is, especially in that era?
I don't think so. I don't think I did, to be honest. No, I think because I kept myself pretty fit. I was always fit. I think even from like 14, 15, as soon as I got there, I was always kept myself fit. Even off season, I'd be out running, always tried to keep myself fit. Worked a lot on strength and mobility at Southampton. They had really good fitness coach there, plyometrics, everything. And I guess I just got lucky with injuries. Never had any serious injuries till later on down the line. Yeah. Usually get a pulled muscle here and there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I... I'd probably put that down to my work ethic and
yeah.
the fitness guy that I had at Southampton.
All footballers for me are like elite athletes, most of them, like 99%, but there's something different than you, like your mindset. You was able to push yourself more than most, weren't you? Like you was a power, was that, where's that come from?
I always say that it comes from, that's when I switch off.
Mm.
That's when my brain just kind of just goes into switch off mode.
What stops the noise?
Stops all the noise. I enjoy pushing myself and seeing how far I can go. At school, I hated it.
Mm.
I say I hated using my brain.
great comment.
Yeah, it was. And it was for me just physical fitness and playing football was just a total switch off.
Yeah.
Mentally, for me, it was just brilliant. So, I loved the physical aspects. Mm. I loved all sport. I loved athletics.
Yeah.
And I think for me, it was just, I always pushed myself physically.
Mm. Yeah.
And I always wanted to be, because I liked athletics, I wanted to be fast, I wanted to be the fittest, and football part of my game was just bombing up and down. And so it's always been in me, always been part of me, but it's definitely a mindset.
I enjoy it.
Yeah. I do enjoy it. And, you know, it's a weird thing to say
That's
you enjoy.
Incredible
I go to,
me.
To the gym and I want to train with people that are going to push me, and I like people to train me. Go, didn't realise you was that mad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just one thing I've always had in my game.
Hugely successful time at Southampton. It ended up with the club getting to the FA Cup final against the great Arsenal team. Your last game. I mean, what was that day like? You lost the game, but it must have been proud for your family because it's for Southampton to get there, it's incredible.
Yeah, it's hard to look at it like that, though.
Yeah.
I just remember sat on the pitch crying. I'm totally honest.
I'm trying to boost you up here, Geese. Come on.
It was great. Yeah, we got there and everything. Mm. And, you know, there's some performances that Southampton have produced against big teams and got results.
Yeah.
We were always the underdog, and I never minded that. But we just never really got a look in. They had such a great team, and Henri Perez and all that lot, and it was great to go, and it was a great day out for everyone. But yeah, losing is just rubbish, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, the build up to the game was great. You know, all my family and friends got to go and they're buzzing. They were proud and everything.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But it's so hard to not think about just the losing part.
Yeah.
So
you're a competitor.
It was great to get there and everything. But yeah, for me, it just the standout bit was just. Losing and just being upset on the pitch. Just gutted. I was gutted for myself, gutted for the players, and gutted for the fans, and gutted for the family. Because all I could think about, imagine winning it. Would have been so good.
It'd be memorable, wouldn't it? I mean,
yeah.
But you're at the top of your game, and you come out for pre-season, and that's we both signed for Chelsea in that summer. You a few weeks before. How did that come about? That move, and was there any other options for you? Was there any teams in?
I honestly don't know if there was anyone else coming in. There was always talk of Liverpool, but I never really heard much. And then my agent mentioned Chelsea. If I'm totally honest, I didn't want to go.
Really?
No.
Why? Just happy?
I was just happy. I was comfortable. I enjoyed playing football there. But you know, with football, everything does always change quite quick.
Yeah.
You know, the players in front of me were getting older.
Mm.
You know, you don't know who they're going to keep hold of.
Yeah.
And if I'm totally honest, I remember going into Gordon Strachan and going, because my agent basically made me go and hand in transfers, go and speak to the manager, tell him you want to go.
Yeah.
Because they weren't getting
anywhere.
And you're
telling
your
agent, yeah, you quite like it, you want to stay.
Yeah.
Right.
But he was saying, I'm not going to give you a contract. They don't want to give you any more money. They actually want to sell you off. You need to go and tell the manager. And I look back and I think to myself, I haven't even took in everything he's said. I've just gone on his advice and gone in and spoke to the manager.
Yeah.
And it's Strachan. So I just remember walking in there. Now I always used to think handing the transfer request was on a bit of paper. You say hand it in, a bit of paper. There's my transfer request. They're like, no, you've got to go in and speak to him and, you know, say Chelsea are in and you want to leave. And I just remember... I probably couldn't repeat what he said to me, but as soon as I said it, yeah, do one, and basically kicked me out of his room. It just came down to Southampton just wanted to sell me for the money, really, and they were never going to offer me another contract. They basically wanted me to go. So then you're just, well, I might as well go then. And it was really hard, you know, because I loved it there. The fans were always great to me. But at the end of the day, they wanted to sell me.
Yeah.
I know Strachan didn't want to. And to be honest, that pre-season, he just... made me run. He basically just punish me for wanting to go. And even the day before I left, because I was still at the club, he made me do loads of extra running and stuff just to make a point of it. But I got on really well with him, and I've spoke to him afterwards and everything. He was a great manager for Southampton.
Different times back then, Bridgie. Like, I mean, I think if you spoke to him now, I wouldn't say he wouldn't say he'd regret it, but he'd be like, probably wasn't the right thing to do. A young player gets an opportunity to leave, the club want to sell you, and like, it'll be handled very differently now,
yeah,
wouldn't it?
I think I was a massive part of the team, massive part of his team. It was, you had Chris Marsden in front of me, who just suited me.
Yeah,
he was never a winger.
Inside and
he was just, I was basically left back and left winger, because he would come inside. And he would always cover me if I went forward.
Yeah.
And I was up and down all day. So he was brilliant for me, Mazza. Mm. And to be honest, with Southampton, it went a bit downhill after that. Anyway, a lot of players left and they ended up dropping down a division.
Yeah.
I don't look back on regret on leaving. Mm. But I was definitely, I wasn't jumping up and down, kicking and screaming to get out there. Just Southampton were willing to just, they just wanted me out and wanted the money, really.
Sport Pods. What was your first thoughts then going into that dressing room with all the great players at Chelsea? The training ground was an absolute carsy, so it sort of like messes your head. You know you're going to a big club that wants to win the league and the Champions League and the FA Cup, but you're going to, remember the training ground, it was dreadful, wasn't it? Harleton.
So bad. Change room was bad, pitches were bad, and you're like, what is going on? But we're always thinking it's going to change. We know it's going to change. Yeah. But we're like, how long is this going to take? It's taking ages.
Do you remember when we had to like leave?
Leave early because college.
The college netball, college that were coming, hockey team
yeah, were coming in. We had to leave early. It wasn't the best, was it? And I remember like, even the canteen wasn't the best. None of it was great, was it?
No.
The players were great, but nothing else was great. I have to be totally honest, I was nervous.
Yeah, I was nervous. I was nervous.
Playing with, bigger, better players and there is pressure. You get brought, so there's pressure. So I was definitely nervous.
Did Claudio, when he brought you in, say to you, you're my number one left back? Or did he say...
No.
No.
I never got told I was number one.
No.
Because they had Babiaro, who's obviously, he was good, wasn't he? He was a good player. But it was there for the taking. Mm. So I never got guaranteed playing or I was his number one, but it was there for the taking, really. So I never knew I was going to play, but I thought I was good enough to go and play.
Like, I just remember coming in, and there was all of us, I signed 2-3 weeks later, and it was just, they were just hoovering up all the best young players in the country. So it was a nice way to come in, because there wasn't all Marcel Desailly's and Manuel Petit's, there was like us lot.
It a little bit easier, the English core, didn't it? It definitely made it easier for me to be able to speak to someone about coming in, and it was a lot easier having that English core.
Yeah, and you played 48 games that first year. But, I'm going to talk about, but the goal against Arsenal in the quarterfinals of Champions League is such a historic goal for Chelsea. And the Chelsea fans, you speak to anyone around, who was a Chelsea fan, and it's like, if it ain't their favourite moment, it's second favourite. It's amazing, moment. I mean, from my perspective, we're playing against this great Arsenal team. Our second leg, I come off the bench, I go down the outside, we're in the ascendancy, I'll cut it back for Ida, and Ida don't ever miss chances, but he missed a chance.
Ash cleared it off the line,
didn't he? Yeah, so I'm like, oh no, that's our chance. and then it was just like, one of the moments that stands still, I've popped down to the side, wide, it's gone in, you've played a 1-2 with Ida, and I've just seen right behind you, I can see you, and I'm thinking, goal. It's not fair. Certain players go through, even though he's a left back. Yeah. I was thinking, if you would have picked a chance for you with your quality, with your left foot,
it could have gone anywhere.
And you just slid it into the bottom corner, and in your face afterwards, it was just joy.
I don't score many though, do I? So for me, it was probably one of the best feelings I've ever had. That and scoring against Pompey.
Yeah.
But against Arsenal, I just couldn't. I honestly actually can't put it into words how I felt, to be honest.
Do you know that goal was probably, that was for me, that was the changing of the guards. That was when us as a team said, like, no, we've arrived.
Yeah.
Like, we can compete.
Again, with me, I get that. I look at that. But I always look at the downside too much.
Mm.
And I always do, because I think we did that and we go and throw it away.
know.
The next game.
I know.
So don't you worry, it's one of the best moments.
Yeah.
And it was a great night out as well afterwards, from what I can remember. But it was definitely like, it's probably, it's hard with a Pompey and, because Pompey hated me, but it's definitely up there with like your debut and everything, and I don't score many, it was great. But again, I just end up looking at like, how we threw it away the next game. But it was the best, for that moment in time, I can't put it into words, felt great. I remember even after that goal, I was that excited, I didn't even realise they needed two goals. So I'm getting the ball and just kept smashing it away. And Lamps are going, Bridgie, they need two goals, calm down, keep the ball. I was like, I didn't know, Lamps, sorry, geez.
I remember going back in the dressing room at Highbury and it was so tight, wasn't it? You couldn't move and then the music was playing. We can compete with this great Arsenal team, but we're beating them. And we're bouncing and it's the tunes went down. And then someone's gone, double bonus, double bonus.
Adrian Mutu, that was, I think.
And everyone's like, wow.
Everyone just
bonus.
Went mental.
And then we started partying again.
It was amazing. And you know, one thing it takes me back to when I look at the footage back sometimes, when it pans to Ranieri and he starts crying.
Yeah.
And I remember Scotty Parker just gripping him up from behind.
And that's what the camaraderie we had. Yeah. Scotty was a big signing in January. And he didn't, I don't know if he started the game or he was off the pit, but we were just like so much wanted into him. Wanted to win
spirit,
for him, didn't we?
I thought the team spirit was brilliant at Chelsea.
Yeah. Oh, mate, that was just, I loved it. And, mate, that moment.
Winning mentality that some of the players had as well.
Mate, that moment. I mean, we had a great, we finished second, semi-finals of the Champions League. We were primed for success. And then Chelsea. They changed the manager with Jose. Do you remember that meeting he had with us? Was it the Lowry in Manchester when he came to meet the England players?
I vaguely remember him coming. Yeah. I don't remember everything he said, but I remember him coming to speak to us all.
We were all sitting there, and it's weird, isn't it? Like, it was before the start of next season, but he'd come to see us. And I remember him saying to us, I don't remember exactly what he said, but I remember the gist of it was, I'm the man. If you lot follow me, we're going to win the league. And I remember walking out of the room just thinking, wow, this guy's a serious guy. And then what was your thoughts on it?
Exactly that. It's just like, whoa. And also I'm thinking, this is going to be intense.
Mm.
Intense, like, you've got to go with him. It was like, you've got to stay, you've got to come with me, you've got to go with me, you've got to believe in me. That's what I take from that, and that it's going to be intense. And I think you see that from the first training session.
They were good, weren't they? Change football.
That it was so good.
Mm.
It was strange at first. Mm. Remember, he has to stop training a couple of times don't pass it like that. You pass it like you mean, every pass.
Yeah, everything.
And it was intense, and I loved it. And even if it got to a stage where you weren't playing and you were training the next day, you were going to enjoy training.
Yeah.
You enjoyed the parts training, everything that was put on. It was never like just, you didn't play, you're going to run.
Yeah.
I enjoyed all of it. Even though I was disappointed I never played, but all the training was enjoyable.
Yeah.
I really liked it. It was intense and enjoyable.
The moment I remember was St James's Park, Newcastle, Patrick Kluivert. And you went down, and when you went down, certain players go down, and you're like...
It was Shearer, you know?
Was it?
Shearer, but Kluivert was the one saying, get him off the pitch.
Was that what it was?
Yeah.
So
I remember, I just want a two-foot Kluivert after that.
Coming for you, Patrick, man. Don't come for any...
boxing?
I
bet he's got a long
legends
jab,
games.
Though.
Yeah, I bet he can have me, actually. I'll leave him. No, but like, you going down, and certain players go down, and you look in such pain. You know, after the game in a dressing room and you're there at half time and you can see you're in so much pain, but you're sort of inconsolable at that time.
You know, that season was a difficult one for me because I turned the corner with Mourinho because I had this time with Mourinho where I just wasn't playing. He wasn't happy with me.
Hmm.
And then not a lot of people know it, that a few weeks before I broke my leg, I definitely turned the corner with him and he put his arm around me. He said, do you know what? You've been great. Keep going. He said, we've got some important games coming up. I think we have Barcelona coming up and stuff like that. He said, you're going to be playing, you're going to be used. So, it was the first time he had really been really positive and put his arm in because he was really pleased with me.
Yeah.
I go and break my leg.
Mm.
So I was devastated, but I knew straight away. Do you know what it was? The first time I'd worn blades.
Really?
And I was always umming and ahhing about wearing blades. I wasn't sure, and I never liked changing my boots. I thought, I'm going to go for it. And I remember my foot got stuck and then Shearer come across me and I just felt it snap. I just knew it had snapped. Because when you go in and see the surgeon, they're not the most tactful.
No.
They're like, yeah, your career could be over. And you're just like, straight away, you're like...
How'd you digest that?
Yeah, I couldn't. And then I got my agent coming in, who was chatting absolute waffle.
Yeah.
Because I think I must have had... Thing is with football, I know it's all about money, but I was always looking for a new contract. So that, you know, the better you play, you get a new contract. So you're constantly working at that. I don't think I ever got to a stage where I was like, until further on down, because I was like, I was done. I was always looking for a new contract.
Yeah.
So when it got to that stage and the surgeon saying to me, your career might be over, and I only had 2 years left, and then I got my agent to me, oh, don't worry, this and that. And I think once he went there, they're going to give you a new contract. So he was chatting absolute waffle, really.
Yeah.
It was just worry and that not coming back to play football. And I remember being in the hospital and you'd beaten Liverpool in the League Cup final. Mm. And Reno called me from the bus.
Yeah.
And he was going, that was for you and stuff like that. And I actually started crying. It was like you could hear everyone cheering saying it was for you. And it made me feel really emotional. You know, I was just sat in the hospital bed with my leg up. And I was obviously buzzing for everyone.
Yeah.
It was just the kindness of everyone going out their way to call me and say that. And it made me really emotional.
Yeah. Well,
so I did struggle definitely at the beginning.
Yeah.
Massively at the beginning.
Yeah. I've suffered long term. I know the pain. But yeah, I mean, listen, we loved you. So it was like, it was for you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for sure, you'd have been fit. You'd have been playing for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
We went on to win the league. You know, I know it would have been bittersweet for you, but you played enough football and you're part of it. Was that...
To get the medal.
I know you enjoyed the night out.
Again, you know, I got a medal, but for me, again, and that's probably part of my own issue, I don't look at the positives enough. Mm. But
you're too humble,
Bridget. I didn't play enough for it to really feel like it was mine. I played enough games to get the medal. But again, I wish I'd just been the main, played more and felt more of it. But yeah, like buzzing to still got the medal and played enough games.
For someone like you said, I played in front of you on the left at times for England and Chelsea, although I played a lot for Chelsea on the right. But it's just, I know your quality. I know what you can do.
Yeah.
And even more so in this era, you would absolutely love it, wouldn't you? Like running, like being the freedom. Because you're a left winger, you're a forward at heart.
I would have loved it, yeah. That was my game from a winger. I think that's why I was always fit. I was never one of them wingers that just played as a winger. I'd always be sprinting back to help my fullback.
Yeah.
I'd always get back up again.
Yeah.
I think it was Dave Jones that noticed it.
Yeah.
And he just said to me, I'm going to stick you at left back. I mean, because you can just run up and all day long and then be someone in front of you that can tuck in and help you.
It's a joy.
I would have loved it to play now. Yeah. I do. But then... Is that all old players? Once they finish retiring, they look and go, oh, he ain't that good either. I can still do a job here. I don't know if that is all old players from older eras. I don't know.
We got a bit of that in us. Do you know what it does mean? When we're in the studios and we're like, we're dissecting the game and we've got the slow-mo camera and we're like, oh, look, his body shape's not right. And you forget about all the mistakes you made as a player.
There's so many. It's so easy to just pick mistakes.
No.
That's football, isn't it? It's a moving... Yeah. Like, watch West Ham... For the first time the other day, and I was picking mistakes in FIFA. I'm like, how is it that? How can teams be that bad sometimes?
Yeah, I know.
It's not easy. It's not straightforward.
No, you can see our fans get frustrated. You come back and you ended up playing 33 games, and you played in both the League Cup final and the FA Cup final. That might have been the FA Cup final I was talking about. Was it the first one we won 1-0 against Man United?
I remember beating Man United 1-0,
So that was the one
Ash come on, and I think Ash came on that game. We were both on the pitch that time.
Yeah, that's what you know, I started the game. I didn't finish the game, but you would have come and played. I mean, that was what I remember from that game, Bridgie, was what a terrible game of football. We wasn't good. It was just like one of them games in that sort of way. It was just war of attrition. What do you remember?
I remember it was a terrible game. I remember I made a couple of really good tackles. Mm. One on Wayne Rooney when he was going through. Again, terrible game, but I think that's something that we had as a team in our locker, that we could go and destroy teams, but we could also match teams for work ethic and closing down and grind out a result. That's what I loved about the team we had, whether it was you, it was Robin or anything like that. Everyone had such good work ethic that we could grind out results.
Yeah. you took pride in it, didn't we? We took pride in that, like, you know, we sometimes winning games when you was...
We'd have a battle.
Yeah,
was and better. And we could battle.
I don't know if you played the game up at Blackburn, we played that, we won the game 1-0.
That's what was going straight through my head when I was thinking, it was a battle, wasn't it? Yeah. And we were buzzing afterwards.
I know.
We were getting kicked, I think. Yeah. I think the referee was, like, rubbish, and it was a bit of a dogfight.
Yeah.
And we matched them, and, yeah, so I loved that about us.
Yeah. Not enough... Fans miss them types of games. Yeah. They like them. They're not easy on the eye, but it's just that... Together. Yeah,
but sometimes I like that people running around getting stuck in it. It does get the crowd going sometimes. Mm.
Fantastic time at Chelsea. I know there was injuries in it, but I think overall the Chelsea fans think fondly of they love you, you know. And what I would say is one thing with footballers is I don't know how many games you played, 500, 600 games, whatever it is.
I don't want that many, but hundreds
of games, Bridgie, and you no matter who you are, you get remembered for moments, you know what I mean? So you're remembered for... You're going to be remembered for that goal against Arsenal. And like I said, as someone who was a Chelsea fan growing up, that moment is as big as a moment in the club's history. So you were fantastic. But I want to start talking to you about England now, because we both went to the 2002 World Cup as youngsters, didn't we, really? Yeah. Do you remember all the clobber we got given when we got in the rooms?
Yeah. There was so much stuff.
There was laptops, there was computer games.
Yeah, there's loads.
Suits, clothes. I just remember ringing up with Dad going, Dad, you're going to have to get a car here. I can't take all this out to the tournament. We've got some stuff for the boys here.
I remember calling my dad, I've got a watch for your dad, I've got this for you.
They wore the kettles for like 3 years.
Dad's still got it. It's still working.
Yeah, it was. But you played, I mean... Was Beckham injured or like Michael Owen was injured during it?
Kieran Dyer was injured for a bit. I think he was always fighting to get back fit, having loads of treatment with some mad guy. Do you remember him? He was a nutcase. Yeah. Can't remember his name. He was doing loads of like stuff with Kieran, trying to get him back fit. There's a couple of things that stand out for me. This is one. I don't know if it will for you. You're good. You're a tricky player. Mm. And I remember Scholesy once lost it because you had done a few, and he come through and smashed it. Do you remember it?
Yeah.
So I remember training at England was always intense.
Yeah.
And it was like, I thought it was out of order, to be honest, the tackle.
Yeah.
And another one that stands out for me was Keown. I think Keown, like, him in training was just brilliant. He'd always leave a bit on everyone. I'm like, we're at a World Cup and lads are smashing each other. I'm like, what is going on?
Maybe we should take a little... I remember the Scholesy. I don't know if I spoke to Scholesy about it, because I've interviewed him.
Have you spoken to him? What did he say? Does he remember it or not?
I don't remember it.
It was the day before
the first game of a World Cup, and he's done me with a tackle. Then I'm in my head, you know, you get your little voices in your head, you're thinking, I can't have that. No, I leave it. It's the day before the World Cup. No, I can't have that. And then the ball just went to him and went, right, he's getting it. And I went bang and just clamped him. And then the whole place, and I'm like, went quiet, like the tumbleweed come past. And Sven, who never raised his voice, went, oh, Joe, and Steve McLaren. I just went like, what? I think, no, you look like, I'm 20 and I've just booted our best player before the World Cup. But we was always, it was a bit intense at times.
It was. But for me, like, I think they should have said something when he done you. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I think there's a fact you... Do you know what? I think he must have done like around the world, around someone, a little step over, and he just didn't like it, did he? And he came in and took you and knocked the ball.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's one of them things. It's hard, because when you're playing, I think it's really hard to train and not take it seriously.
I know. Well, you have to, don't you?
Yeah, you have to. You can't.
You have to. And Martin.
Martin, he used to smash people, and it used to make me laugh, because I'm just like, got game tomorrow, Martin's there smashing people.
I love Martin, and we worked with him.
He's a great lad. I loved him, I think he's brilliant.
I was chatting to him about that. He was 35 going into that World Cup as well, and imagine that intensity you train with at 35, because you know as your career goes, you learn to manage your body, and you have a little, but he was on it every day.
He was fit, yeah.
BT Sport Pods. You played 36 times for England, Bridgie. You scored one. I remember this.
I actually got left behind at that World Cup, actually. They forgot to bring me home.
That's right, yeah. After the night out in 2002.
When we were drowning our sorrows, we woke up the next day to fly home and they left me in the hotel.
Was it you and
I? No, it was I left back in the chamber. I was left back in the hotel.
Didn't you have to get the bullet train back to meet us?
No, they left Ash as well, actually, didn't they? Yeah, they left Ash.
Yeah.
There was both of us left. I got in a taxi and Ash woke up an hour later and got a bullet train.
The fault of an England squad losing a player.
Yeah, now, that's mad, isn't
he's
it?
He's like mental. Like, I remember because we had a drink. We lost to Brazil in the quarterfinals, yeah. And we had a drink upstairs in the bar. And what I remember, I just had the old, jester at one point. I had the jester out, not the England jester out. Yeah, fans. Yeah. Don't know how I got hold of that. Shirt off, dancing, partying. Like, because after a World Cup, there's such a build up of pressure. You've not done anything for 5 weeks. Just bang, 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 and you've lost. Yeah. And you just go a bit mad, don't you?
Yeah, everyone's a bit different. I think some people like get in there and just have a drink and like, and some people just probably go back to their room and like be a bit.
Yeah, I was just. But it was. We was just the opposite.
We just had a party. Win, lose or draw.
Me. Mickey Bart was there. Robbie Farr.
Yeah, there's a few. There's a lot of the lads there, weren't there? Yeah, a lot of the lads.
And it's there's no right or wrong to do it. We've got players have got stick for that in the past.
Yeah.
But all of them players were on it and doing everything we can. But once you've beaten...
It was done, isn't it? And it's like, what do you do? Leave it and then go out the following week. Yeah, is it on to the next one?
I know you're not a massive watcher of football, Bridgie, but you... What's your thoughts on this squad? What's the chances in Qatar?
They've got a massive chance, haven't they? Yeah. You know, they've massive chance. But for me, when I think about it, it's how do them players deal with the pressure?
Mm.
How are they going to deal with the pressure of the press back home, the pressure that's on them to win? You know, the group stage, they should walk through it.
Yeah.
But it's that first game, 20 minutes in.
Yeah.
You've got a team that's matching you physically, you know, running about, dogging, not giving you any breathing space.
Mm.
And if you're not playing well, keeping the ball and creating a few chances, how do you deal with that? Do you go in at half-time, 0-0? Yeah. How do you deal with that? If you go in, you've got a goal, I think it's easy. I think they can comfortable, they breathe, and they get down to playing football. But it's never that easy there, I don't think. It's dealing with the occasion. I think that's what it is.
They're
all good enough.
Yeah.
But can they deal with the occasion?
Personality above ability.
Yeah, because I look at when we used to play, and the group of players we had, I can't pinpoint why we underachieved.
Mm.
I can't pinpoint why them players didn't achieve it. Yeah. I look at all of them and I think everyone had the confidence to deal with anything that there was, press, anything, fans getting thrown at them. So is it just they didn't gel enough as a team?
Yeah.
Because the team we had was unbelievable, They should have been able to go on and...
And it's moments, isn't it, Bridgie? Like sendings off.
It's
referee decisions.
Look, it's a knockout, and you get to the knockout stage. It ain't easy. It's difficult.
We all want England to do well.
Yeah,
we do. Going back to Chelsea, 2009 January, was it the Man City deal come about? What was your thoughts process with that? They was on the up, Man City.
Another one didn't want to go. I had got back from obviously my injury. The staff are unbelievable. Physios, everybody have got back playing. I earned two new contracts from Chelsea, even after they signed Ash. And six months before that, I just signed a new contract as well. And it was Scolari who was a manager at the time.
Yeah.
And I thought, do you know what? I'm just going to go and speak to the manager and see what his thoughts are. Because I know Ash was there and I wasn't always playing, but I got to play games.
Yeah.
If he was injured, I got to play games.
And he did have a difficult time at the start, Ash.
To be honest, I actually thought when they first signed him, I was playing really well.
You was.
And he came on at a game where we were beating Charlton, and I was actually on fire that game. And I think we ended up conceding, and that's when I got dragged off, and he put Ash on. And it was from that moment there that I just think, no matter what I did, because I was playing well at the time and I was pushed to the side. But again, we were playing 70-odd games a season, so I was sometimes getting in 20, 30 games. Mm. So I was kind of happy, but obviously wanted to play. Scolari ended up coming in and it was him that I went to speak to. And I just said, so Man City have come in. What do you think, you know, me staying and that? And he went, have they offered you more money? I went, but you might as well go then. I thought, oh, great. So that it kind of made my mind up a little bit,
really?
Even though I
didn't
want to.
The fact that
he was happy to. I didn't like, I've never really loved change. I know it's good for you to get outside your comfort zone and do that.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, I spoke to my agent at the time, you know, Aaron.
Yeah.
And he just thought, I just think you should do it, you know.
Yeah.
And it was the same as Chelsea, new owner, more money coming in again, and something they're going to build on. And it just... it came about so quick.
Like they all do, transfers.
And I'm one of them people, I don't like to use my brain too much, but I got stuck in an MRI scan for about an hour. And my agent said, I just remember you coming out, you looked like you had seen a ghost, and you reeled off about 100 questions to me. And he said, I could see you were worrying about everything. Where am I going to live? Where am I going to do this? When am I signing the contract? When have I got to move? And it's just like, it was just one of them things that I just had so many questions. I hated change, and I just used to worry about change and little things that were going to happen. But yeah, it happened, and it happened very quickly.
Exciting, another exciting time. It'd be interesting, your perspective on it, because you've gone into Chelsea at the start of the change. You've seen that Chelsea become a juggernaut of a club. Same at Man City. What was the similarities and what were the differences like? Because you a list of players, Mika Richards, Kompany, De Jong, Alano, Robinho, some talented players and characters in that dressing room.
It was hard because I felt like at Chelsea, it was a proper team.
Right.
Like I said, the work ethic that everyone had for each other,
yeah,
the way we set up to play, everyone knew what everyone was going to do.
Yeah.
And I went to a team that I honestly thought, first game I thought, we're a bit all over the shop here. So going for a team that had such good structure to it and amazing players. This had some top quality players, but never had the structure in the team that everyone knew, you know, the formation, how everyone was going to play. And like for me, loved Robinho, great lad, great player.
Yeah.
But me playing behind him, it was totally different.
Are you saying Robinho didn't cover for you like Chris Marsden?
He was never going to do anything for me. There was no point in me overlapping.
Yeah.
He was never going to give me the ball, maybe the odd occasion, so I used to still go.
Yeah.
But he just wanted to do his thing. So for me, it was just a different way of playing. I was just a left back. I couldn't really bomb on that much. Yeah. And I felt like with him, if I was going to bomb on, it was, oh, shall I go, shall I go? Because he's going to try and beat three or four players and then he's going to lose it and then I'm out of position.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They got to where Chelsea were, but where I was in a team that were already there, it was like going backwards a little bit.
Yeah, yeah,
and
I
found it. I found it quite hard.
Did you? Sparky, Mark Hughes, the manager.
Good manager, good training. I felt like down.
Was that comfortable for you, Gies? Because you played with him, and now he's your manager, or was that awkward?
I think the only time it ever got awkward, when I went out, and he knew I was out, and I'd done something wrong, like turned up late or something like that. That's the only time it ever got awkward.
What was you thinking? 10 years ago, you were doing the same thing with me.
I should have said that, but I wasn't. Do you know what? Any time I've got in trouble, or I've done something, like turned up late for training, I've always been honest.
Yeah.
Even with Hoddle.
Yeah.
I think I was going to say my fan belt snapped on my car. And in the end, he asked me, oh, do you know what? I went out last night. I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have.
Yeah.
And he was, do you know what? He went, I appreciate your honesty.
Mate, when your kids do it to you, when they admit it to them, you like, it disarms you. Like, all right, you said the truth.
So I've always done that. Whenever I've got in trouble, I've just gone, sorry. And it's got me away with it. Apart from Sparky, I think he fined me a week's wages, to be fair, which I was devastated about. So, with him, I felt like we had let him down a little bit because training was good. Yeah. I think sometimes he might have struggled to deal with some of the Brazilians and the way they were.
Yeah.
He was a good manager, I thought. Training was good. It was intense, which was a surprise because he never used to train like that. So that part of it was good.
Mm.
But when he got sacked, I think, for instance, me 100%, I think Bellamy 100% felt like, as a team, we had let him down.
Right.
Us as a team didn't do enough for him. No one was playing that well, you know, and I think what it was small little things. It was, I think we just drew. We weren't losing, we were drawing and not nicking those wins. It was like seven draws in a row and he went, and I thought it was too soon. Myself, I thought he could have gone on to do better because training was good. And then obviously, they brought Mancini in, but I think a few of us felt like a little bit of a letdown for Sparky.
I can see why you think that, because his career was in the ascendancy, Mark Hughes, and you know, he was a top manager, and it's horrible. I think you're the type of character like me, when a manager gets a sack, you know, you see, what really annoyed me was players who, like, you see them coming in the next day buzzing and like getting on it and start training properly. I'm like, I used to take it personally, even though it's not personal, but like, well, What could I have done?
I feel like if we're ever out of favour, manager, I'm sure you earn this. Yeah. You'd still give everything in training. Because you're still thinking, oh, there might be a chance. And you still give everything. And when there's players that don't, it is frustrating. When players are happy that a manager's got sacked and you're not, it's hard, isn't it? But that's in the change room, because there's so many people that might not get on with the manager. They think, oh, I've got a new chance here.
I call them the 2 week wonders. They turn up the 2 weeks after a new manager and start training, running around,
and then
see
them
in the gym with the bands like that.
Yeah.
Then they go, So the Man City was, you had your injury problems there as well. And you went out on loans, West Ham, Brighton. One of them was the one you enjoyed the most?
I'd have to say Brighton.
Yeah.
West Ham is up there for me. I know the fans can be hard to please sometimes, but I liked it as a club. Do you know what it reminded me of? A bit of Southampton.
Yeah.
Yeah, the backroom staff. And you want to do well for them. Yeah. Like, you actually really... I know you want to do well, but you really want to do well for the club. Yeah. Even now, I go back, Joe, and the West Ham fans, they were great. They're really good to me and really great. And I went there and my debut was terrible.
Really?
In terms of, I gave a penalty away. I played Theo Walcott onside. We had Avram Grant as manager.
Yeah.
It was really tough.
Yeah.
And we ended up going down. But I love West Ham as a club.
Yeah.
And that hurts me a lot that it went that way. And I definitely take part of the blame, obviously, because I went there on loan. But again, that was a lot of players at that club, Joe, that just didn't have to fight or didn't want to give the fight. It was horrible. Yeah. I would have loved to have stayed and gone back up with them the following year. And then there was Sunderland, which was just, God knows why I went there, to be honest. no offence, Sunderland fans, but there was a chance of Reading, who it was going back down south for me from Manchester, and then my agent talked me into going there, and as Martin O'Neill was the manager, I just got there and she wasn't playing. I was like, what am I doing here? I was going to go to Reading. There was talk of playing.
Yeah.
And I just didn't get Martin O'Neill as a manager.
Yeah.
Honestly, I really did not get it. He didn't do much of the training.
Yeah.
You know, you hear the Villa lads talk about it, and they used to love him. You get a result, it's like 3-4 days off.
Yeah.
I started to get issues a lot with knees
and
groins, and I did struggle. And I think where I wasn't playing as much, I train, but I never had that intensity. And I think I did struggle a little bit with little injuries at Sunderland. And I just didn't really enjoy it under him at all, to be honest. There was a good bunch of lads up there, but I just didn't enjoy it. Brighton come about. It was difficult to get there, because I was at Man City. Robert Mancini just wasn't having me at all, and it was just about trying to get out.
We've talked about him before, Mancini, and you had difficult relationship with him.
It was good. It was good. I don't think he deals with players being injured that well. And so he was fine with me. He was good for me. I was playing under him. And
no, sorry, let me reframe it. At the start, it was okay.
It was okay. Look, I went to Man City and I did okay. I didn't play great. I didn't have great performances. I did okay. And he was fine with me. And it was just a little injury I had at the start of the season, which was a crack in a metatarsal.
Not a little injury.
Yeah. But the doc base said to me, you 6 weeks rest, got them chamber things you go, they like the oxygen chambers to go without the injury. You'll go in there, it'll be 6 weeks, a lot of rest. You'll have to get some training in elsewhere.
Yeah.
Or you go in for an operation, but you're just as long out. So it's just waiting for it to heal. And I just strap it up and get out there. It was that.
Yeah.
And he would like wave his arms at you and have the right hump with you.
Mm.
And it's like, well, I'm going off the advice of the physios and that. It's rest, I need rest. And I remember coming back, I'd only trained a little bit, and it was the day, might have even been the day of the game. It was either the day of the game or the day before. We were travelling away, Europa Cup, and I had a really tight quad and I felt it.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel, and I'm not one of them people that will say it and it says, I'll always just do the best I can and play.
Yeah.
I'll only say it if it's a real issue.
Yeah.
I said to Pat, it feels really tight, you know, it don't feel right. And I remember walking on the coach and the manager started just shouting, and he called me a girl and he called me this or whatever. Mm. And I'm a bit like, do you know what, I'll play.
Yeah.
And I tore it in two places.
Did you?
Part of me, I wish I turned around and just said no and told him to do one. But I played and I tore it in two places. And from then, that was me and him done. That was just me and him done. And then after that, he stuck me with the kids. I trained with the kids with, there's a few players, Adebayo, Shay Given, Craig Bellamy, and I never caused a problem. I just went out and went out of Button Business and trained with the kids. And then, so it was hard for me to get out because obviously I was getting paid a lot of money. So the loan spells were coming about as they were covering some of the wages.
Yeah.
They wanted me to go somewhere else. And I was like, no, I wanted to go to Brighton. I'd known Gus, met Gus, talked to him, loved it. So I managed to get there for a year. Yeah. And it was the best thing I did because I was at a stage where I was just falling out of love with football. I thought, I was just done. I was just done with it. And I got to Brighton, mate, I just loved it. This is where I say, where I mean I don't just chuck the towel in. I was playing with painkillers every game.
Yeah.
I was having an injection in my hip every game. And I got through the season, and I think I played really well for Brighton.
Yeah.
And I just loved it. I just loved playing with them. Yeah. Gus was a really good manager. He had, I don't mean no disrespect for the players, but it was obviously dropping down a level.
Yeah.
Some goodish players, average players, but he had them playing really good football.
Yeah.
And I just really enjoyed it. I was just gutted we never went up because we got to the playoffs and never went up. But I just loved it again. Just loved playing football.
Just fell back in love with it.
Yeah.
I mean, people like Bridgie, no one would ever, like, I mean, obviously, we good friends, and I know that you struggle with your body now. And you know, you're one of the toughest men I know because, you know, your hip, your knee, you've had big operations. And that. People listening to this might often think to yourself, oh, football is a great job, and it is a great job, and we're lucky, and we're blessed, and we're privileged. But there's a price to pay, and your body now, like...
I'm definitely paying the price.
He's
definitely
paying the price.
But I'm also doing things I probably shouldn't do, like skateboarding. but you know what it is? You do.
Is that why you called it a day at Brighton, even though you were playing well?
I went to Reading, and that's when it was just 1 year too much for me. I got there, played a few games.
It was just literally body shutting down.
My knee. It was. So I went in. They scanned my knee loads.
Mm.
Did an extra scan. They were like, just don't seem right, but you played a whole season.
Mm.
And I was fine, I felt fine. It was like, I can't remember how many games in, but it was a handful of games.
Mm.
And I had to go in to have my knee tidied up. It was then, basically, I couldn't get back. Cartilage is basically disappearing. Mm. It was like, basically bone on bone. I could run in a straight line, but it was the stopping, the turning, so it was fine. So I was okay just running, but if someone was running at me and knocked it and I had to turn and go and then I had to check again,
but you're the sort of geezer, you'd still try and play, wouldn't you?
I tried, mate. I did try. Yeah. And I think I played 60 minutes at Bournemouth.
Just running in straight lines.
I was still running and trying to turn, but it was just hard. And I did try. But it was after that I just realised that was me done.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it anymore. And I remember going to see the surgeon. He was like...
Was it a relief when you finished because of the pain, or was you gutted?
I always thought I wanted to retire. Not at Brighton anyway.
Yeah.
But at Man City, definitely, and at Reading, definitely, just because if I can't train, I can't do it. It's a bit soul-destroying, it gets depressing. Mm. I love training, I hate being injured, I hate going to the training ground if I was injured. I'm probably not ready. Is anyone ever ready? I don't think I was ready.
No.
And luckily it was through injury, because I probably would have just kept going. Even now, I don't say I've struggled, but I've never known what's next. It's just always been my life. Football's always been my life.
I think we all do that to a certain degree, and we all have different ways of dealing with it. And I'd like you said, I do the media thing for me was just something that sort of happened by accident, really. I'm really into my coaching. I wanted to do that, and then this thing's come along. And I will go back to the coaching and the management at some point.
Yeah.
But you've done some. Well, first of all, we climbed Mont Blanc together, didn't we, for charity?
Yeah.
Now, listen, that was an eye opener. That was an eye opener because, like, this thing. This guy, I'm in disarray. On the top, we're training in, where was we training?
Zermatt. Right? Getting used to altitude.
I'm in a dreadful way. We get up to the side of the Blackhorn or something? Mountains.
Matterhorn.
And I'm just, the Matterhorn, that's the other one.
Yeah, no, we could see the Matterhorn, couldn't you, from where we were. We never
and
climbed
you went, geez, film me. I want to do a circuit on top of it. I've never, at that moment, I hated you a little bit. He's just doing press-ups.
I remember the first time we got up to the top and we went to put our shoes on. That's when you feel the altitude. You bend down just to do your shoes up and you're like, you come up and you're I'm out of breath all of those dumb shoelaces up. But again, it's just, for me, it's a fitness thing for me. Ever since I was a left winger, I'd still be running up and down the pitch. Yeah. I think that, so I've always enjoyed fitness.
Mm.
I loved it. I remember walking along at one point and we've been doing this mountain for about 7 hours, was it? About 7 hours.
This is a training day.
I pit, put a bit of music on, lift the mood a little bit. Come on, Joe, what tune do you want on? I can't remember I remember what you said to me, but I can't say it on camera. But basically told me to do one. I went, all right, I better keep quiet now. Because I know what it's like when you get to them, that stage where it's hard, and you don't want to speak to anyone.
You've got to concentrate on the next step.
But yeah, it was a brilliant experience.
It was good, wasn't it?
It was so good. But that I struggled on the way down, my knees.
Yeah.
Going up, I was fine. You were a machine as well, because that day, not a lot of people summited.
Yeah.
Because it was that bad. It was touch or go if we were going to get there, because the weather was that bad. We were last to leave, so we were last to set off and first to the top.
But we have to talk about last to set off, because when you go to like people who've probably got experience climbing, they've built up to Mont Blanc. Me and him, like a couple of donuts, just turn up, don't know where to put the crampons on, don't put this on. So we got up, I'm there, we've got the wrong gear on, the geese looking at us like, this is dangerous what you're doing. So we're last to leave. As we're just picking them off one by one, geese, we're like, look, you see them as they're turning back, the weather's too bad. And then we got to that point, and then I remember the fella going about 200 metres from the top, and the wind was brutal, like.
It was bad. It's the worst conditions I've experienced.
We might have to turn back. I'm looking at it thinking, because I ain't turning back here.
If you don't know if you remember, when we set off to climb that mountain, we weren't in all our gear, because it wasn't too cold.
It was lovely.
And I remember it turned bad, and we had to stop. We had to get our bags out, and to do that, you had to take your gloves off. It was like some kind of storm, so we get it out, getting all our stuff out, putting our extra layers on, and I remember it must have took about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I couldn't feel my hands. No. For about an hour, I thought I was going to lose it. Why can't I still feel my hands? Why do they hurt a lot?
Yeah.
Like they were burning.
Yeah.
And it was like, it took about an hour for them to come back. The conditions were quite bad. I remember just having like icicles coming off my beard and stuff like that. It was quite bad. It was tough. And there was a lot of people that only got halfway up and just turned around.
Yeah, I think you said...
We got halfway up and had a couple of pints, I think.
The jungle. I know Carly went in the jungle years before. You look like you enjoyed it, Bridgie, to be honest. The country fell in love with. What did you finish? Second, third? Or?
No, I just missed out on the cyclones. I think that's either fourth or fifth.
Fourth or fifth.
Now. Do you know what? It was going out of my comfort zone. And again, I wasn't going for anything. I was going for the challenge. All the things you have to eat and challenges and that. And the only worry I had was just the cameras 24/7. Yeah. I just didn't know how I would deal with it, because I'm not one of them people that loved the camera.
Did you find it hard? I know you had a good group, didn't you? But I was speaking to Carly about it, and she had some nice people in the group, but they were all showbiz people. And footballers, we're a different breed. The fame is just a side product of what we do. We want to play football. So when the cameras are on, I'm used to it now because I'd work in it, but it's quite uncomfortable, ain't it?
You see people change a little bit, because there's incidents where, obviously, you're filmed 24/7, so you don't know what's going to get aired. But the times that you know it's getting aired, for instance, Ant and Dec coming in, or there was a thing where we were live with Holly Willoughby and Philip Schofield. And there was one time it went live. And as soon as it went live, you just see three or four just go into character. You're like, my God. For me, it was like, this is what you get. But then you can see people play up for the camera a little bit. I just thought, that was just weird.
Weird, isn't it?
It was like some people playing a game. And so, I get it. It is a bit of a game. But for me, the game was all the challenges.
Yeah.
Not how you're acting in camp, whether you're trying to act up for the cameras. Yeah. And you know, it was like the Bush Tucker Telegraph, where you go in and have a chat with people. I'd be in and out in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
People had been there for an hour, and I'm like, how are you in there for an hour? They're just chatting so much to try and get a bit of airtime, I think. And there's one thing that stands out for me was I got asked about, was it great to speak to Holly and Phil? I was like, I don't really care, I'm hungry. Just give me some food. I do not care about Holly and Phil. I'm starving. Just give me some food. But I enjoyed it. I loved it. I did love the experience. I made some friends, and it was a really good experience.
Do you know, I reckon they should do a footballer's version of that. That'd be hilarious. It'd be good. Bridgie, it's been an absolute privilege, mate. Just one more thing. Will you do the quick fire round for us?
Sentence, just sharp.
And you know, you said you didn't like
explaining, because I can waffle.
You said you didn't like to use your brain. Like most of us footballers.
Yeah, right, I'm using it about thinking, that's the thing.
That's it, yeah. Right. This is an interesting one. Which player give you the toughest time?
I've always said it, and there isn't one, there's two. Sean Wright Phillips and Aaron Lennon. Low centre of gravity, sharp, get at you. You've always got to stay switched on, and where they're so quick, you've got to read when they go in. So them two, 100%.
If you could relive one moment of your career, what would it be?
For fun, I'd have to go Arsenal.
Yeah.
I'd have to go Arsenal just for fun.
That'd be amazing.
Just to relive that moment. Or it would go back to the semi-final after where we put it right and get a win.
Favourite manager you've ever worked with?
I'd probably just have to go Glenn Hoddle. I think he was great for me, he did so much for me, and I was gutted when he left.
Do you know what?
I was gutted he never brought, not that I wanted to go and play for Tottenham, because not particularly a Tottenham fan, all right? But it would have been nice if he had brought me as well. But yeah, I love playing with him, I think he's brilliant, and he was ahead of his time, tactically brilliant.
You're not the first person to say that, we love Glenn. Biggest regret of your career?
So I'm good at negatives, I've got loads of them. But there's loads, you know, debuts of West Ham and things like that where they haven't gone right. But I think if there's one regret, it would be not working on my mental strength and my confidence as much, I think I'd probably say. You know, there's loads of regrets you could say, I wish I'd not gone out as much and prolonged my career. But I think it would be working on myself, inner self and confidence probably.
That's really interesting. If you could have played with any player past or present, who would you have chosen that?
I'd have to go for ability and night out. I'd have to toss a coin between Gascoigne and Maradona, I think.
Because you're Wayne Bridge, we'll let you have both of them.
If you're going to make me pick one, I'll just go Gascoigne, he's English.
He's mine.
Oh, great. But their ability, like, just unbelievable.
Players.
Yeah.
Absolute pleasure, Geese.
Top man, Geese. Thank you very much. Sport Pods.